Now, the former Archbishop of Dublin, Dermot Martin, has said that any inquiry that must be carried out into abuse in schools must be carried out by a totally independent body with powers to compel the discovery of documents. The Irish Times is reporting today that senior figures in government are concerned that any inquiry into abuse at Blackrock College could soon extend to hundreds of schools. Joining me now to discuss how any inquiry might work and what the potential liability might be for the state is UCC Law Professor Conor O'Mahony, former Special Rapporteur on Child Protection. Conor, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Katie.
Yeah, Conor, you worked very closely with Louise O'Keefe on that landmark case that she took to the European Court of Human Rights in 2014, which of course found that the Irish state had failed to protect her from abuse by her school principal. You might just explain to us how that judgment may be relevant to the revelations that are emerging now.
Yes, so the thing about the Louise O'Keefe judgment was that the central finding of the European Court of Human Rights in that case wasn't a finding that was limited in scope just to Louise O'Keefe or just to Dundero National School where she had been in school. What the court actually found was that the Irish state had failed to discharge its obligation to protect children in schools because of the fact that it handed over control of the school system effectively as a whole to religious organisations by and large without putting in place any effective safeguards against the risk of abuse occurring in those schools. So that central finding of the O'Keefe judgment really is a systemic finding. It's something which is applicable not only, as I said, to Louise O'Keefe and her school, but it's applicable to effectively the entire school system up until the point in the early 90s at which the Department of Education introduced for the first time a set of child protection guidelines affecting schools. And it's for that reason that we've seen already there's been an ex gratia scheme established providing compensation to other people who were sexually abused in other schools up to the early 1990s.
So are senior government figures right then to be concerned about the potential scale of all of this and the potential liability that the government might be facing here, or the state might be facing, I should say?
Well, on one level, yes, I suppose in that it is the case that where there is evidence, clear evidence of people having been abused in other schools, that they would fit within the terms of the O'Keefe judgment. And to that extent, the idea that the state failed those people and therefore has a liability towards them would apply to them in the same way that it applied to Louise O'Keefe and to others who have already been compensated in the wake of her judgment. I suppose on the other side, the numbers here, you know, on the one hand, we don't yet know. We'll have to wait and see. But I suppose it is important to say that this isn't an issue which is only surfacing for the first time now. This is an issue which has been around for some time. Quite a lot of these cases in other schools have come to the surface already. So yes, there is a need for further investigation and we need to establish the true scale of it. But I suppose it isn't something which is only detonating now for the very first time, which it may mitigate, I guess, just how far this goes in terms of the sheer scale of the issue.
Like we spoke to the Department of Education and they confirmed to us that you mentioned the ex gratia payments there, the compensation scheme that's currently in place for people who were abused in schools up to 1992. To date, we're told 139 applications have been received, of which 102 have been approved. So about one in four. So a considerable amount of them have been accepted. And it says the total payout to applicants through this scheme is just over 8 million, 8.23 million euro. That does seem quite small, but that is because there is a significant bar to being accepted for that scheme, isn't there?
That's right. So that this scheme has been around for some time. When it was originally established, it had some very restrictive conditions which actually prevented every single application from being accepted in the first version of the scheme. Those conditions were subsequently found to be incompatible with the O'Keefe judgment and the scheme was revised. The latest version of it is certainly an improvement, but it still has this requirement that people would only be entitled to a payment under the scheme if they had taken a court action against the state prior to the 1st of July of 2021. And the reality is that lots of people, for lots of very good reasons, wouldn't have been in a position to have taken that action before that date. And then the date itself is an entirely arbitrary date. It has no basis in law, no basis in the O'Keefe decision or the statute of limitations. And that date is serving to exclude people. I mean, we don't have the exact figures as to why those cases that were rejected, but at least some of them, if not a substantial portion, were rejected because of that requirement to have taken legal action before July of last year. And there are other people who would simply not have applied because they know they couldn't satisfy that condition. So I think that is something which really needs to be looked at, because especially if the scale of this issue is to become larger in light of the more recent revelations, that condition will serve to exclude people who did suffer abuse in a defective system.
Yeah, because there is even a case, isn't there, of somebody who was in the same school, abused by the same principal as Louise O'Keefe, who does not qualify for compensation under this scheme.
Well, certainly, if you look across the range of people who could potentially apply, I mean, it is a reality here that if you have people who experience abuse, perhaps there is a criminal conviction against their abuser. And yes, I mean, if we look at the person who abused Louise O'Keefe, he abused a very large number of people over a long period of time. And the reality is that if you had situations there where people had not actually taken legal action against the state in that scenario, then they wouldn't be entitled to a payment under the scheme, even though they were abused by the same person in the same school. So that really is I think, a very strong illustration of the sort of irrationality and injustice of that condition.
And that is being challenged in the High Court at the moment, is it not?
It is indeed. There's a case being brought at the moment in the High Court challenging that condition, and that is being, well, it's being brought by a solicitor's firm and being supported indeed by the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission as an amicus curiae. So we'll have to wait and see how that runs its course during the autumn.
Can I ask you then about those comments from the former Archbishop of Dublin, Diarmaid Martin? He was saying today that his belief is this has to be carried out, this inquiry now. We know there's an inquiry going to be announced, that it has to be by a totally independent body, and that that body would have to have powers of compellability to be able to compel the discovery of documents.
Yes, yeah, so the form that the inquiry will take is really a very important part of the discussion here. You know, we know from past experience in Ireland that when we've held public inquiries on various matters over the years, it can become very, very tricky trying to strike the right balance. On the one hand, inquiries, yes, they need to be independent. On the other hand, there is a balance around the question of how much power you give to an inquiry, and then how long running and legalistic it becomes as a result. So if you go for something like a tribunal of inquiry or a commission of investigation, those models have the advantage of having strong legal powers to compel the production of evidence, to make adverse findings against named individuals or organisations, and that's an advantage. But we will know all too well the downside of those inquiries, which is that they become very legalistic. They can run for a very, very long time, and they haven't always generated satisfactory outcomes at the end of all of that. So there is a trade-off there. You know, on the other hand, if you go for maybe a lighter touch model where you perhaps give the inquiry fewer legal powers, you can have a situation where perhaps you can get through the work more quickly. You don't need to afford quite the same level of due process and legal argument in the course of the inquiry. So that's an advantage. But you do, in the course of that, you do limit the amount of power that the inquiry would have with respect to the findings it can make or the evidence it can secure. So this is a trade-off, and it's really something I think it would be very important to consult with the survivors affected by this, and to really involve them in that process of deciding what is the appropriate model and what is the best balance to strike between those competing considerations.
Do you have a view yourself?
I mean, my own view is that the Tribunal of Inquiry and Commission of Investigations models haven't worked fantastically well in this country. You know, if you look at say recent commissions of investigation, including the Mother and Baby Homes report, if we look at the ongoing Grace Inquiry, those are examples of models which took an awfully long time and didn't necessarily always generate very satisfactory results at the end of it. I think there is scope to be a little bit more creative here. I think if we look back, for example, to the Ferns Inquiry some years ago, which again was ultimately concerned with issues relating to child sexual abuse, that operated on a non-statutory basis. It was able to do its work more quickly. Its powers were more limited, but ultimately the report produced by the Ferns Inquiry was quite well received. And I think that there are lessons to be learned there around how we might be able to go about this without falling into some of the same traps that we have in the past.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Professor Con Romani, many, many thanks for joining us with that this morning. That's former Special Rapporteur on Child Protection from the School of Law in UCC, Professor Con Romani there. Now, let me introduce my political panel. In studio with me here, I have Pather Tobin, leader of AIMTHU and TD for Meath West, and Rebecca Moynihan, Shannon Group leader and Labour Party spokesperson on housing, local government and heritage. And from our Athlone studio, where he's attending the Fine Gael Ardesh this weekend, I'm joined by Damien English, Minister for Business, Employment and Retail, and Fine Gael TD for Meath West. If I go to you first, Minister, and before we get to what should happen in relation to these more recent revelations, listening to Conor O'Mahony there, would you accept that the existing compensation scheme that the state has put in place is not fit for purpose, that arbitrary cut-off date, that if you hadn't sued before July 2021, that you were not entitled to claim under that scheme? That's not sustainable, is it?
Hi, Katie from Athlone, and I'm glad to be here in your studio and at the Fine Gael Ardesh. Again, this is an issue that's come up in conversation today as well, and when we are looking to the future of the country, but this is something that's certainly hot in people's minds as well. Look, for me, first of all, we have to learn from all the existing schemes that are there and the existing approaches we've taken to all the other abuses up to now with the different commissions and inquiries. And I think we have to make sure we get this inquiry right. I think the Taoiseach is open to that. The Taoiseach said it again today down here, Leo Varadkar, that we want to engage with the victims and the survivors to put in place the right kind of inquiry that is short, that brings them justice, but helps them deal with all that went on here. I mean, the revelations again, and they're increasing in numbers day by day. It's really scary that so recently this has still happened again. And these victims need our assistance here. I think we're at one with that. And the Taoiseach has said that he will involve all parties in the terms of reference or the mechanism to use here to get justice and to get answers and to deal with the perpetrators in a timely manner as well.
But if you could just respond to that point about the current scheme.
Yeah, I listened to Conor there and I see the scheme. And again, I would have thought also that more would have come through with. So only 102 have been approved. I know that the date is due to remain open until July 2023, but part of the issue is that cut-off date as well. So I think, I think in light of revelations recently, these need to be all looked at again. It's, for me, talking to victims over all the years, it's not about the compensation. It's about getting justice, getting their voice heard, making sure procedures are in place to prevent a repeat of this anywhere in the future. And that's their main focus. But compensation is needed as well to deal with all the costs they've had to deal with because of their suffering as young children too. So I'm open to have that teased out with anybody to see how we can improve it. And Conor has done a lot of work on this on behalf of the government as well. And we have to listen to his advice and guidance too.
And in relation to the inquiry then, are we looking at a statutory inquiry now or... should we examine, obviously the Ferns inquiry that Conor O'Mahony mentioned there, that predated the legislation establishes commissions of inquiry. So,
okay, Katie, I think we've had far too many inquiries for a start in this country, but at least we can learn from them. I actually really believe we have to sit down with the survivors first and get their thoughts, their opinions. Share our knowledge, all of us across all the different parties of the schemes that have worked and the inquiries that have worked, but also see how they want to approach this. They have to be involved in any terms of reference here because this has to be about them and getting justice for them and answers for them and to deal with all those who had a hand in letting this happen.
Are you worried about the scale of this? It's reported, as I say, in the Irish Times this morning that senior government figures are very concerned. We could be talking about hundreds of schools here.
I'm not worried about, in that sense. I'm shocked and disappointed and the numbers that are still coming through that still have revelations like this in Ireland. That's hurting everybody and it's really hurting these people who have suffered in silence for a long number of years and may not have been listened to in the past. So that's where we have to concentrate our efforts. That's the concern of government. That's the concern of us here at Fine Gael Ardesh and Athlone, is how best we can help. It's not about the compensation levels. It's about how we can help these survivors deal with their families who are victims who might have passed, but also absolutely make sure that all our procedures are in place to safeguard young people and children in all our education facilities and others as well.
Pather Tobin.
Yeah.
The Dermot Martin's comments this morning that basically that we need whatever inquiry is put in place must have the power to discover, the legal right to discover documents, because otherwise the Spirit's hands, or whoever, whatever order, or whoever we're going to look for documents, might be put in a very invidious position.
Yeah, well, I think that first of all, the victims have to be put in, and the survivors have to be put in the centre of this, and they should be the driving force in determining what mechanism we use to get to the truth. And it's the achievement of truth and justice which is the most important thing in this. I would say that, you know, there's been a pattern with regards how the government have dealt with things like this before. In the Louise O'Keefe situation, for example, it's an incredible situation. In 2014, there was a fund made available for victims and survivors such as Louise. And still by 2019, there was no money drawn down from that whatsoever. And an incredible restriction had been put into place whereby abuse had to be proved before and the individual themselves had been abused. And then we have this arbitrary situation that a person has to have litigated against the state before 2021.
And of course, many people were advised not to take that litigation because they were advised to hang on to see what the government compensation
scheme
would be.
For sure. And so it's absolutely incredible that that would be put into place. And there's a pattern here. And we've seen it. You know, cervical check is quite similar. We see apologies by the government, and then a tribunal is created, and it leaves actually the victims and survivors out of the central development of that tribunal. And now we have women who are forced to go to the courts day in, day out, instead of actually getting to use that particular tribunal. My view, to be honest, is that we need to have a discussion over the whole idea of commissions of investigations in its entirety. They are not working. They are taking too slow. They are not bringing justice to the fore in time. I know that obviously CyServ is a different order than this, but CyServ is an example of, you know, 38 modules, a commission investigation set up in 2015, and only in the last couple of weeks, the first module of that 38 has been complete. I think we need to get a department of investigation where we have a continuous secretariat with the skills necessary to deliver investigations.
So we don't start from scratch every time
They have a Garda and criminal elements to them that they're able to get into the truth of these matters as well.
Okay, Rebecca Moynihan.
So I think the first thing to say is that the most important thing is that victims feel heard, validated and supported. And I think that can be exclusive to decoupling it from a compensation element of it. And I often think our commissions of inquiry have often been too adversarial. I see people who, for example, made complaints in relation to Blackrock College, then received letters back straight away saying, please come forward, but we do not accept any of these allegations and we will, you know, take you through to the courts if we don't. So that attitude and that legal basis and adversarial system is not the way to go. And I agree with Patter in terms of overseeing the commissions of investigations and how we actually do it, because this keeps on coming up time and time again. Victims feel like they have to jump through hoops to have their story validated, and often it's a lot more about healing than it is about compensation for people. In saying that, I think it's important that rather than get overwhelmed with the extent of schools that might be pulled into this, the government are coming from it from the very first perspective to say that we need an independent inquiry into this. And I think that's the very first thing, rather than be fearful about what's going to come out, say we need to have everything come out to begin with, and people need to be supported in that. And we need to know to the extent of how what was the state's complicity in this, because we know, for example, through other commissions of investigation, such as the mother and baby homes, it wasn't just the mother and baby homes. There were other arms of the state that knew about this to make sure that something like this doesn't happen again. It's shocking, but also not surprising about what's coming out. Myself and Patter were talking just before we came in here, and both of us were saying our whole adult life, it has been a drip feed of this from the late 90s onwards. And a lot of these, particularly that we're hearing this week, took place a long time afterwards. Like, these were well into the 90s. So I think in the first instance, the government need to commit to an independent investigation and decouple that almost from the compensation and inquiry thing. Because I think when you're trying to merge and mix the two, the state are fighting on one side for the indemnity. And I think it's a very good example of where, by handing over the education system, by handing over our health system to areas and arms outside of the state, we have made those mistakes. We can choose going forward to not make that mistake into the future and have state-run schools.
OK, just before we leave this, Minister, can I just put back to you again, just touching on what Pather and Rebecca were saying there, like we haven't, the state hasn't exactly, and successive governments haven't exactly covered themselves in glory in how they have dealt with this. And that in this particular case, if you look at the battle that Louise O'Keefe had to fight to establish that the state was liable in her case, we have put, you know, many years and many millions, you know, fighting these, you know, fighting victims in this case and in many other of these scandals. So how can victims, you know, place their trust in the state to look after their interests in this case?
I think, Katie, the key is that we sit down with those victims, first of all, as I said at the start, they have to have a role in this and they need to understand. I think every government minister this week has said that Taoiseach Tánaiste, we want to work with them and get the terms of reference. We all know there's been plenty of errors and mistakes made in the past that haven't been perfect inquiries. Some of them took far too long. Some of them were too adversarial. But this, we have to get this one right and work with them to do that. And it's not just about the compensation. That has to be secondary. But I agree, Rebecca, on that. It's about the focus to get to the justice, the truth,
I'm just thinking
what they need to be able to get better.
The Women of Honour. The Women of Honour is another example where we have women who came to the fore over abuse they experienced in a state organisation, received a fine apology by the minister, told that they were going to be put in the centre of the terms of reference, and the terms of reference developed independently of them, and they now outside of the investigation that's happening into their experience.
Damien English?
Well, that's why I'm saying, and I'll repeat it again, Katie, this has to be number one.
So what you're saying, are you saying we've learned the lessons from just a few months ago? Because that only happened in recent months, that development. And you know the Women of Honour were extremely upset that having been promised that they would be part of the drawing up of those terms of reference, discovered that they were all wrapped up with a bow before they were consulted.
I know Simon Coveney has consulted with them quite a lot and involved, and they did still feel that. So that's what I'm saying. It's important that we get this right, that we do at a very early stage sit down with those brave people who've come forward to share their story and design it with them. I think everybody is committing to that.
Okay, we leave that one there. We'll take a break. We'll be talking about the World Cup after these.